You may have partied there, gone to a show there, sat on someone's couch while your friends DJed there. You may have bought clothes or art made there, listened to a track that was written and practiced there, all without realizing it was for the last time. I'm speaking about 435 Beaubien West, also known as the Durocher Lofts, an industrial holdout by Park Avenue just north of the Van Horn Overpass. It's a building where artists have shared affordable studio space for at least the past 20 years. But earlier this month, the borough of Outremont approved the developer's plan to tear down the building and replace it with 8 and 11-story residential towers, 176 units with no mention of social or affordable housing.
That poor?
Poor.
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 The building is owned by Hill Park. That's the name for the duo of Jeremy Kornbluth and Brandon Schiller. You may recognize that latter name as the son of Stephen Schiller, who, along with Danny Lavie, has become notorious in the Mile End for allegations of pricing longtime businesses out of their premises. Schiller Lavie owned the Durocher Lofts building until 2024, and developers previously planned to redevelop the existing building. But now Hill Park says that the building is in an advanced state of deterioration, presents safety concerns, and can't realistically be renovated. What does that mean for the tenants? Well, Hill Park told CKUT today they're working on a relocation timeline extending from now until next April. But last week, tenants at 435 Beaubien had more confusion than answers.
I think as we're all kind of confused about the future of where we're going to go and what the terms of our departure are, and it hasn't been very clear communication, it feels like.
Matt Sharp is a member of the Super Studio, which represents dozens of artists who share 10 studios on the building's second floor. He came out to a public info session last Wednesday night to try and learn more about the project. The architect and urbanist behind the development were there to answer questions, but they told me they lacked the developer's authorization to speak to me. So most of the people I spoke with on Wednesday were artist tenants of the building. Some, like Matt, have been there for only a year. Others, like Amanda Smith, have been there for far longer. But she says they're all in the same boat now, without a lease and being asked to go.
We want to know exactly what is our rights, and unfortunately it seems like that's something that's impossible to find.
Hill Park says they'll help tenants find new spaces that meet their needs, and will cover costs for relocation. But tenants say that so far, they've only been offered the cost of a moving truck. When CKUT reached out to clarify, a Hill Park spokesperson said today that they're offering, quote, reimbursement of reasonable moving expenses associated with the relocation and a 50% reduction in rent for the remainder of tenants' occupancy. Hill Park also says they'll help introduce tenants to building owners and leasing agents who may have space nearby. Last week, the artist I spoke to said they'd been told there are other buildings in the neighborhood that could house them affordably, but when they ask for more details, so far, none have been forthcoming.
He won't tell us where the buildings are. We tried to narrow down some of them, and he's like, no, there's others, but he's not liable to say.
Evelina Puttyfoot is a ceramicist, and she says it takes a special kind of space to house her studio.
Clay is quite dangerous. Like, you have to have a space for it because the silica and the dust. So it's not something you can do at your house. It's not something that you can do just like casually.
Her worry is that the buildings that meet her needs, affordable, industrial, and close by, don't exist.
I've lived here for 10 years. It took me 8 years to find anything that wasn't $300 a month private studio on Chabanel. Like, there's nothing like it, you know?
Last week's info session was held in the lobby of a similar building on the other side of the overpass, an old industrial building, but one that's now being converted for more upscale use, with bright lighting, poured concrete and glass. A series of laminated poster boards showed maps and plans for 435 Beaubien, with details like the shrubbery to be planted, ninegrass, dogwood, and holly, as well as the rooftop terrace for the 8-floor pavilion. It's a sign of how this corner of Mile X is changing in the years since UDM's campus mill moved into the borough.
When I came here,
I don't know, seven, five, six, 7 years ago, there was even no street. There was no Thérèse Lavoie.
When Anya Bontrois started her own business as a seamstress, she set up shop just a block away from 435 Beaubien, in a building that's now also being redeveloped.
I paid like, I think, $10 a square foot, and now I'm at over $22 a square foot.
For the past year, she's been at the building at De Rocher and Beaubien, in a renovated segment with higher rents than the super studio tenants pay. Still, she says she doesn't know how she can afford to stay in the neighborhood and close to her client base once the building gets redeveloped.
Even to be able to cover my expenses of this now so expensive atelier, I have to have other tenants with me. So I share my space now because I couldn't afford the new rent.
In the report from the borough's Urbanist Committee, or CCU, one of the major impacts of the redevelopment is listed as, and I quote, increased residential supply while prioritizing artistic activities, particularly artist studios, in line with the identity and dynamics of the Atlantic sector. How does that make sense? Well, the developers have a solution for the artists getting evicted. They say they'll turn the ground floor commercial space into future studio space. The CCU asked Hill Park to provide a long-term reintegration strategy for the artists, but so far, the borough hasn't forced the issue. Hill Park told me that, quote, the owner intends to offer existing tenants the opportunity to be considered for creative loft spaces within the future development on preferred leasing terms. He couldn't give me any more details. The artists say this has all had them feeling left in the dark.
There's been no contact, no negotiation, no discussion, nothing that has at any point said that those would be available to us or that they have any intention of making them available for us.
Smith is at a studio in the building for the past 6 years. She says she's mourning the loss not just of the premises, but of a time and place when cohabitation meant 100 artists in an old garment factory, getting by doing what they loved.
People have been in there, like just the super studio itself has been over 20 years. So like you consider how many artists have come in and out of that and all the lives that have been affected by it, not just the community, but outwards. And yeah, it's worth fighting for. It's worth understanding that once they demolish this building, they're not getting it back. Like it's gone. And wherever they remove us move us to, it still doesn't change the fact that no longer exists.
Instead of keeping like a nice patrimoine, I can't say it in English so well.
Bondrois agrees. Now, twice evicted from the same corner of Mile X, she says the neighborhood has become something she doesn't recognize.
Tout le charme de ce qui est artistique et un peu ancien, ça disparaît parce que ça devient une cité miroité, super moderne, froide. Et c'est ça. On trouve ça un peu triste aussi.
A public consultation is being held this Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Outremont Borough Council Room at 530 Devar Avenue. CKUT will be there. For CKUT, I'm Jules Bujal with the Local Journalism Initiative.